tell you about Windman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Noise Boys.
Hey, Alex, I can be cheering.
Feeling channels of Homestuck.
I think we should probably swap back, Alex.
Yeah, here you go. Use your body bag.
Yeah, and in the last questions of the month, we metaphorically put our hands on the like Mohican friendship bowl and swap bodies. Now we're taking this back because the joke's been going on for this episode's been going for about 20 seconds. 20 seconds too long. So last one was like what, 3 months ago, something like that. It's been a busy few months. I didn't have like jack shit for school stuff until this month, where they just dumped everything at once, you know? Well, I guess we'll start it off with just dumb shit that we've been doing.
Yeah, pretty much. Keep the people posted. How much we're living our nice nerdy lives.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of yeah-yeahs, I was watching Twin Peaks Season 3 with Joe. It's pretty fucking nutso.
All right.
It's like, what do you know about Twin Peaks, Alex? I've like linked you stuff on Discord a few times.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect opportunity to finally ask you, because you've been linking me shit all fucking like month. What the fuck is Twin Peaks exactly? Because I have other friends who talk about it, but they never actually say anything it's like about. And everything you send me is just like really obtuse shit.
Well, that's the thing. So what it is David Lynch directed it. And I know that means absolutely nothing to you. As it should, because you're not, like, a movie nerd.
No, I know David Lynch is, like, you know, if I recall correctly, from pieces of little things I could hear, he is a director who just kind of banks off the fact that he's weird.
He's the guy who made that movie where an old man shouts, baby wants to fuck.
So I was right. So, basically.
Twin Peaks, it was in, like, 1990-something, or it was, like, 93. I don't know, whatever 25 years ago was. Twin Peaks is a detective, it's kind of like a detective thriller, where high school sweetheart and, you know, prom queen, Laura Palmer, gets fucking murdered. They find her body wrapped in plastic in the river. Who done it? They think it might be part of a serial killer, so they send out FBI agent Dale Cooper. And he meets up with the sheriff, Sheriff Truman. Sheriff Truman is, like, the most normal character there. He's the one that doesn't, like, have any kind of gimmicks to him. He's just a dude. And every single character has, like, all these weird quirks about them. And you start to slowly learn more about the town, the lore behind Twin Peaks and all this crazy shit. It's this really neat blend of very serious scenes, spooky, silly, and slapstick. It's got all this shit. Like,
I've heard about you.
Uh-huh. Give it a thumbs up. I've heard about you. The milk will get warm. It's the oddest shit. I kind of want to compare it to Homestuck because of how it handles its material so seriously and understanding that, like, this is some dumb shit at the same time. I did a Best Boys on the first two seasons, and then we're almost certainly going to do one for the third because that's the final season. It ended, you know, 25 years ago, and then Showtime was like, hey, David Lynch, we're a non-existent movie, like, you know, TV movie company. Can you make us relevant again? He's like, no, fuck off. And they're like, okay, fine, here's, you know, 6 more episodes in an unlimited budget. He's like, all right, fine. But yeah, Twin Peaks is cool. Speaking of Homestuck, I've been rereading the Homestuck books as I've been putting together Homestuck Ruined My Life number 4. The Huss. And there's a lot of neat stuff, because last time I read the books was back in like 2013 when the books first came out, when I bought like all 3 at once. And
Writer 2013 was 5 years ago.
Yep. It was 5 years ago. That's when they when the third book came out, I bought all 3 as one, and then I also bought all the Problem Sleuth ones. And he's got like commentary on every page that talks about his process and shit. So I've been reading those to try and help organize all the shit. Hiveswap Friend Sim also came out. I said I was going to stream it on Twitter, but I got so busy with school suddenly I actually didn't get a chance to. I haven't even had a chance to fucking play it myself.
Well, I'm actually glad you haven't played it, though, because I was just about to ask. That way, at the very least, if you do stream it, it'll still be a surprise to you.
Yeah, yeah. I know a little bit about it. Like, I know that the character themes are two really, really old tracks. One from Land of Frosted Frogs, or no, Genesis Frog. And then the other one is, like, just a random song. It's from the Midnight Crew album from, like, 2010.
So the game's low budget as fuck.
Yeah, it's zero budget. Because from what I've seen, it seems like it was a game that was made to give the people that got fired off of What Pumpkin for being shit, like, a job for a little bit longer. They're like, hey, Viz, why don't you have them do this? And, well, you know, you don't even have to know. We don't have to know. We don't have to know anyone who has to code, you know, just like what we did through the entirety of fucking Hiveswap, you know, just not have a coder or a programmer. Just use fucking RenP. But yeah, it's a. But yeah, I mean, I might stream it. I don't know. I mean, I'd be streaming a visual novel, and I don't know if that's interesting because I don't like doing that stupid Twitch meme where you read the game text out loud in a funny voice. So I might just like play it. Maybe I'll post, like, Twitter shit. I don't know. I'll do something dumb with it. I also went to C2E2 with 5 hours of notice. It was, like, early in March. No, early in April. And my friend texted me at, like, 11 p.m. on Saturday night. Hey, one of my, you know, one of the other people, I bought him a ticket, and then he fucking flaked. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? I got to wear my Knight of Doom costume that I made for PAX West one last time before I take it out behind the Homestuck shed and put it out of its misery.
I mean, that you mean hang it up on a nice little hook on the ship because you're going to wear it next time you go to PAX.
Yep, I'm going to wear it. I was going to wear it at my brother's wedding.
Don't wear it to Evo.
Why not, Alex? What's the matter?
Oh, you know.
Fucking, speaking of Homestuck, at C2E2, it's like Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, where it's just a convention. There was a game I played called Cosmos Quick Stop. And if you've ever played Diner Dash, it's kind of like that, but you're on a space truck stop, which, no shit. I asked the guy, like, so what's this game here? It's like, oh, well, you're in a space truck stop. And as soon as he said truck stop, like space truck stop, I put one hand in his arm and went, excuse me. It just sat down and started playing. That's all I needed. And I was sitting there, and this dude comes up next to me, and he's wearing like a Dave Strider Night of Time costume, just like me. And he introduces himself as Karkle's Sprite, and puts on like this wacky voice. And I had to sit there and play co-op Cosmos Quick Stop with him. But because apparently he's like a fucking professional at this game, I won a free poster because we got over $2,000.
Nice.
But this dude, he was like kind of like following me around like a lost puppy, and I felt bad. And I just kind of like ditched him. Then eventually I saw him later when I went to the Viz Media panel. The fucking return of Karkle's Sprite. I went there. The whole fucking reason I went to C2E2 was Viz Media had a panel. And Viz is like, they got the publishing rights to Homestuck. And they put out a new book, so I was going to ask them, like, hey, so is there any, like, new commentary in there? Is this just the same shit? And the guy was like, maybe? I could tell that he really didn't know, like, he didn't, you know, he had, like, zero contact with it.
Yeah, he was just there to be their PR guy.
Yeah, yeah. I went to this panel with a bunch of big podcast people. There's Travis McElroy from My Brother and Me, and, like, fucking 40 other podcasts. The people from Hello from the Magic Tavern, which, by the way, they need to stop shitting on Usidor. He's cool. He's a wizard. And he's really badass and awesome. Just like, I love Usidor, Alex. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but
no,
Usidor is the fucking dude. You know that Dungeon Dynamite? You know,
the Math Wizard, right?
Yeah. Is the Math Wizard called Usidor?
Well, is it called Usidor? But I figure you're comparing the two characters.
Yeah, I mean, they are very similar. It's, what's the Math Wizard called?
I don't remember, but I remember his joke, which was, excuse me, where he's like, actually, to decimate is just take one-tenth of something? comes from the ten, the word meaning ten, Deca.
I hate you so much. This one I felt bad about. There's a really big podcast called Welcome to Night Vale. And there was a lady that was part of that podcast who gave me like really good podcast advice. And I think there was a part early on, because I stopped listening to Night Vale like halfway into the second season. There's a point where there's like a lady in the park, and every time they cut to her, she's like very nervous, and her audio quality was terrible, and her jokes weren't funny. And I think she was the lady that made me stop listening to the podcast.
Nice.
The other dumb shit I did, I played the Doom board game, which was fucking way too complicated. It was just trying to like emulate the video game, which just made it not very fun. I bought a Dragon Ball Z import box for $60. That was kind of a waste, but I got a mug that has Goku go Super Saiyan 3 when I put coffee into it for like 5 minutes, and then it cools off and it doesn't show it anymore.
It was worth $60, wasn't it?
I also got a thermos that when it's cold, it turns it black and white. So that's actually kind of cool, because then they look like they're from the manga. There was this really cool thing that we wanted to do. It took 4 people to do. It was $15 each. It was like this full body VR thing. You go in there and like climb ladders and like aim and shoot.
And fuck anime girls, right?
Yeah, and fuck anime girls. And it was just down for 95% of the weekend. It was open like for an hour at the start of like Friday, because we only went on Sunday. And then Sunday they had like 2 people. And that was it. Like the things just didn't work because they didn't have it calculated to the exact dimensions of the space that they had out, I guess, or something. But that kind of fucking, that sucked, because we set aside, like, we cleared our schedule for like an hour during that. And then they said, oh, you know, well, it'll be like another hour. And so we wasted 2 hours of time that we could have done going to like cool panels and shit, waiting for this, only for them to tell me like, oh, well, yeah, we can't really do it. And I mean, I feel bad for them, because they probably lost a lot of money, because they had a lot of floor space, and you have to pay each day for that. So they probably lost, like, a good, like, few $1,000s.
Damn, dude.
Oh, and the Viz Media panel. There was one thing that was actually kind of neat from there, and I guess they're making an English version of that Dragon Ball manga where a dude got reincarnated as Yamcha.
So, like, I had a question about that. So that's a fan thing. Does it have, like, an official, like, connection at all, or what? Like, what's up with that?
I mean, I guess it has to, because it's being officially published by Viz Media, unless it's, like, a parody, but it just says, you know, Dragon Ball, that time I got reincarnated as Yamcha.
Like, so I've heard fans talk about it, and it's apparently really, really goddamn good. So I'm just curious.
It's just, like a dude. It's just a dude who really likes Yamcha. Yeah. He's like, oh shit, I'm in his body. I know all this is going to happen. And he just does a bunch of dumb shit. Oh, by the way, my Amazon recommended is just gay romance mangas. Because I went on there to check and see if I could buy that. And I couldn't. And so I just bought volume 2 of that one, like, depressing lesbian romance manga that was put up on Pixiv, where it was like pink and white. You know the one?
I have absolutely no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
I think it was just called, like, My Lesbian, like, Loneliness or something. It was pretty neat, so I bought it, because it was, like, $5. But that's all. That's all that my Amazon is now. My brother, we share the Amazon, so next time he goes on, it's just, he's going to be buying, like, boots or something manly. It's just gonna have, you should also try, and then just like, my gay experience camping in the mountains of Fukushima.
Ted, care to explain?
So I also went to my older brother's wedding. I did probably one of the dumbest things in my entire life. I had to get a Men's Warehouse suit, right? So I went and I got that, and then I was going to go down to the wedding just, like, wearing the fancy shoes, because I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. And I would have gone unless my mom stopped me, because, so, here's how that went out. So if I would have wore those shoes, I would have gone 3.5 hours in the, and remember, these are dress shoes. These are not meant to be worn like by anyone. They just kill your feet. And I would have worn it for 2.5 days straight because I had to, you know, I would arrive Friday. We'd have half a day. We had a half a day before the wedding, and then have the reception. And that has to go back immediately on Sunday. So if I would have gone there, I would have been wearing these shoes the entire time and then had to give them back on Sunday and then just driven back up without any fucking shoes on.
Nice.
It's almost as dumb as my little brother leaving to get Taco Bell in full suit and full tuxedo at 1 a.m. And then Taco Bell was closed. So we went across the highway in a full suit. Like, he's got, like, flowers pinned to him and everything. Dress shoes, all this. Went to Jack in the Box. They were closed. He left at 1. He didn't get back until 2:30 in the morning.
Did he at least get food?
No, because everything was closed.
Nice.
I also smoked a cigar and blew smoke into my brother's face, pretending to be J. Jonah Jameson. Because, Timmy, they had free drinks at the reception. Free mixed drinks for the best men. So, like, I just got, like, a bunch of free alcohol all night. And I didn't have to pay. Well, I think it was free. I didn't have to pay. I don't know who is. Someone's paying for it.
Oh, and so I took pulled a cigar my dad.
Basically. Like, I just took the cigar and went, and just blew the smoke into Timmy's face saying, I want pictures, Timmy. Pictures of Spider-Man. As he's puking outside the fucking reception. It was pretty good. Well, yeah, that's what I... Oh, and I also saw Infinity War at fucking gunpoint. Because I didn't want to go. I did not want to see this fucking movie. I don't care about Marvel movies. I got sick of them after Spider-Man. Like, I'm done. But my friend... I almost said his name. My friend was like, oh, come on, man. You promised. We got to go see this movie. And so I just fucking dragged my feet in there at gunpoint. And just watched this shitty fucking Star Wars movie. Fucking Infinity War wasn't that great. I don't give a shit. Fucking superheroes suck.
Okay.
I said it. Big mood.
Okay, I actually have a question about Infinity War. So, I haven't seen it because I'm a lazy asshole who never leaves his goddamn house unless it's specifically something that'll make me get money.
And, now, are you gonna ask about the spoiler where Princess Leia comes back to the ship using the Force?
No, I was going to ask, what the fuck is this goddamn meme I see all over the fucking internet? I know it's a spoiler, because someone told me it was one, with, like, the person, like, disappearing, you know?
Oh, so you actually haven't seen... Alex, you were one of the very few people... I remember, because we saw, what did we see? Avengers 2, Avenge Harder, or whatever, and you didn't know that Spider-Man was in it.
Because I do this amazing thing called sit in my chair, play World of Warcraft all day, go to sleep, get up, go to work, come home, play more World of Warcraft. I am literally... I'm not living under a rock, Tad. I'm the rock.
Like a rock. But yeah, it was, the meme is like, for anyone who actually wants to see Infinity War, I won't spoil it because it's literally been less than a week. I'll PM you the fix, essentially.
Oh, okay, thanks, smiley face.
Fucking, alright, so, in the movie they have, like, all these different superheroes, right?
Yes.
And there's a scene with Rocket Raccoon, and I was just like, I was there to my friend, I'm like, hey, wake me up next time a funny talking animal's on screen. Motherfucker taps my shoulders when Falcon is flying around Wakanda. Falcon is the black guy, Alex.
I know, he's from he's in the fucking Ant-Man movie. Okay, so I actually have another question. This one isn't spoiler related. So there's like 20 fucking superheroes in this movie, right? Do they even attempt to give them equal screen time?
Yes, actually. It's kind of weird. Somehow this movie's not a weird clusterfuck. Your characters kind of splinter off into, like, 6 different groups, and then they all, like, their stories contribute to, like, the main plot.
Okay, all right.
Because the movie's pretty much, like, there's a full, like, character arc and all this stuff for Thanos, so it's pretty much the Thanos movie, because that's part 1 of 2. I think the next one comes out next year. So, like, it's a full movie. I mean, I'm sure Marvel movies are, you know, in 2050, you know, I'm going to be reading in an e-newspaper on my e-tablet, on my e-eye implant.
And my e-kinoplex.
Yeah, and the keynoplex I'll be reading about
the 2010s, where the rapid expansion of the superhero genre,
similar to how, you know, like in the old days, Westerns were super big in Hollywood for a really, really long while.
Yep.
Like, superhero movies, it's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to, like, start toning down, because the Avengers, the, you know, ever since Iron Man, like, 2 is when they started doing it, I think. They started doing that cinematic universe shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since Iron Man 2, like, they've been building towards this Thanos plot with the Infinity Stones. And, like, after that's done, like, I think, unless they go even bigger and do something fancier, like, that's pretty much like, okay, guys, we're done now. Like, all right, there, you know, there's the big, it's kind of like how in video games, a lot of the times, a sequel, like Dishonored 2, I really, really like Dishonored. A lot of people really like Dishonored. Dishonored 2, it took that and it built upon it, but a lot of people were just like, eh, it didn't sell as much. You know, it, you don't hear people talking about Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I, even though it's still good, it's like, yeah, it was still pretty good, but that's just how it do.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that they beat Thanos, right? They beat T-Hanos and kick his fucking butt. So
I won't comment on that.
So either they do or don't, you know, what you're asking, what the hell are they going to do after they do beat him or whatever the fuck? Like, what's the big threat after that? Because I don't know that many threats in the Marvel Universe. Like, we get Galactus, right? Is he still around in this universe, in the new cinematic one?
Yeah, but who cares about Galactus? He could just eat a planet, and that's it.
But, like, well, he fucking, Thanos wants to, like, destroy the planet. It's pretty much the same thing.
Well, Thanos' gimmick is that he wants to eliminate all, like, half of all life on the in the universe.
Because he's in love with death.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than
yeah, but their goal
eating
is
a
both,
planet.
Yeah, but their goal is both, me want to destroy Earth, Unga Bunga, me evil caveman.
Be careful, Alex, you're saying something bad about Infinity War. You better get ready.
Oh, shit. Well, anyway, my point is that if they were to, like, beat up this big threat, they can always pull a World of Warcraft where after we beat the big threat, the next expansion is us beating the shit out of each other, and then the next expansion is another big threat. You know, we take a break for a little while and strangle each other. Kind of thin out the characters a little bit, you know, the
they
purge.
They did that the opposite way. Because remember, they had the Civil War movie where all the superheroes are punching each other, and then Thanos appeared.
Yeah.
The fucking Homer Simpson-ass looking Thanos with his fucking Infinity Donut.
Yeah, the guy with the fucking, from Pawn Stars.
Yeah, it looks like fucking Rick.
But hold up. The World of Warcraft comparison. The World of Warcraft comparison still works, though, because we had Cataclysm, fought a big giant dragon that blew up the planet. Then we fought each other on Pandaria. Then we had two expansions, aka two Marvel movies, where we were fighting the threat. Now we're back to fighting each other. It could still work. Civil War Part 2?
I don't know, maybe. But yeah, so Marvel superhero movies, I mean, they've been so popular, maybe it'll stay as like a subgenre for a really, really, really long time. Or people are just going to get tired of it and be like, eh. And that's going to result in movie, you know, production. Because if there's another... Do you know how much money they put into Justice League that made absolutely none of it back?
Was it like a $400 million movie?
It was a lot. More than you and I times 100 will ever see in our entire lives. Like, it was a lot of money. And there's either, like... The thing is, I don't think... You can't keep a super high level of interest for like decades, you know, because
mm-hmm.
It's been about, you know, about 10 years. People are either going to start getting kind of tired of it, and then, you know, people are going to stop seeing it as much, which results in studios not being able to put $56 quadrillion into a movie, having to downsize a bit. And then, you know, because if you hit another, you know, if Warner Bros. Hit another Justice League level failure, like, they're out of it. Like, they're done. They're done with superhero movies forever. But fuck, they might even be now. I don't know. Fucking, I don't know. Superhero movies, like I said, it's one of those things that I'm going to be, like, reading about as a moment in history for cinema. Because it's had such a big impact. So, like I said, I mean, I've been burnt out on them. Unless they start doing new stuff that makes them more interesting. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to go see I'll go see Infinity War Part 2, but I won't see, like, the rest. I don't even know. There's, like, a Captain Marvel movie that's going to come out. I don't know who that is. I don't care.
Okay,
you know,
so...
it's another superhero. Who gives a shit?
So, when you say Captain Marvel, is it Marvel's Captain Marvel, or is it motherfucking Shazam?
No, if it's a guy... All right, now here... No, does Shazam actually say Shazam and, like, clap his hands or something?
Okay, so here's the thing, Like Ted just mentioned, I know jack shit about comics. Like, when I first saw Deadpool when we played Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I thought he was Spider-Man. I don't know shit. But I saw Injustice 1, and as soon as I saw Captain Marvel, I was immediately sold, because, like, when you knock someone down, you, like, and do their first health bar, you do, like, a little taunt, right? He goes, Shazam! A lightning bolt strikes him, turns back into a kid, and he goes, Shazam! And turns back into the adult form. Yes, he literally just yells the wizard's name, and he transforms. It's so fucking awesome.
That's, I don't know, if it's a Shazam movie... like,
because he's supposed to get one. Captain Marvel is going to be the Marvel version, because here's the thing, what happened, he used to be called Captain Marvel, right? Because he was a Marvel, but as soon as the like trademark for his name went down, right before DC could even buy it, like that, Marvel took it, and then they made their own character called Captain Marvel.
Ouch.
Yeah, so even though his name is still technically Captain Marvel in the comics, to put it on the cover and shit, they had to make it Shazam.
But yeah, so that's superhero movies. Alex, I've been kind of hogging the spotlight.
So, right.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
Okay, so as I said earlier, I do literally nothing interesting with my life. But what I do is I play some motherfucking video games. Now, what I wanted to talk about, because Tad mentioned this like offhand like 3 goddamn years ago, was some games out there that me and him enjoy that we think, we feel, are underrepresented, that are underappreciated. You know, some low-key games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there are 2 games in particular that I know are relatively low-budget and not really all that good. They're not perfect by any means. They're pretty okay. But I really, really like them. I really, really, really like Xenoclash, both the first one and the sequel. And I also really like this old-ass RPG, if you can really call it that, on the 360. And yeah, I say old ass because the thing is like 12 years old. It came out like 2007? Game called Rise of the Argonauts.
Now, I remember you playing Rise of the Argonauts when I was over at your house before.
Mm-hmm.
Was I just playing like League of Legends or something at the time? Or I must have been playing TF2.
Team Fortress 2. You were just sitting in there doing your hat trading. Because I remember you trying to send me like, oh dude, I'm going to get a sick deal on this hat.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think I know the exact. It was a pocket medic number 28.
Yeah, because you were going off about like item numbers mattering or something for their fucking value.
Yeah, dude. Okay, real shit. I'm gonna tell you that story again.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm proud of it. So I, for a while in Team Fortress 2, one of the big ways to get lucky and get money is to pool all of your metal in shitty hats together. And then wait for an update, and just bam, 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 go through and fucking craft hats. Because if you were lucky enough, like if they added a hat that was really cool, you know, they added the Pyromancer hat, the skull one for the Pyro. If you got lucky enough to craft it, to be the first one to get it from a craft, and not opening it from a crate, not getting it from a drop, then it would have a number up to 100, and it would say, you know, Pyromancer skull number 73. Pyromancer skull number blah 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 blah, right? And so I did that and I got a pocket medic, and so I traded it for like earbuds at the time, and I traded those for like 48 different hats, and I had an addiction, Alex. I had to do hat science. All I did was just combine hats to try and get a better hat, and ended up with absolutely nothing. Because I didn't get a single good hat. I would get, like, the bald sniper and shit.
Okay, another question to sidetrack from what I was talking about. Can those even be unusual?
No. The hatless hats cannot be unusual unless Valve, like, specifically gives you one.
Damn, because I would have loved, like, the Sunshine Texas Slim Don't Shine, or whatever it's called.
I have one named Vin Diesel's Visage.
Clever.
But yeah. But yeah, so what the fuck is Xenoclash?
All right. So,
like Xenoverse?
Exactly. No. Xenoclash or Xenoclash. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it because the characters in-game say Xenos for the people that live there, but also say Xenozoic for, like, the country they live in. So it could be either way, I guess. But the whole game is this first person brawler, like a beat 'em up kind of game, you know, like Final Fight and shit, where you play as this guy named Gat. The game is you beat the shit out of people, you get your punches, you left, right, you have a fucking like uppercut if you like look up while you punch. If the enemy's on the ground, you can like look down and kick him and shit, you know. It's got moves based on where you're looking because it's first person. One of the big things about the game, I'd say the fact that it's cool, because how many first-person, like, beat-em-ups are there? It's got a really, really, really weird and unique art style to it. It's kind of, like, priding itself on just being weird and different, and it worked, because I fucking love that shit. But anyway,
it's got, like, this weird kind of primal art style, right? Where
yeah.
There's, like, a bunch of, like, animal skins and hair.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks like these weird barbarians if they lived in, like, a world that just really didn't make sense, you know? All their art is weird. The way they craft houses is just weird. There's just, like, weird objects everywhere. It's, like, it's just weird. I have no really way to describe it other than it's really weird. If you would go, like, look at screenshots, you'd get it. Xenoclash 2 in particular is, like, so screenshot bait it hurts. But I'll get into that in a second. So, it's got this really cool, like world and, like, story. So, you play this guy named Gat, who's just, like, a human dude. And the game, it tells its story in kind of two different ways. It tells itself right, like, in the middle of the action. Like, right after you kill this character called Father Mother, and then you're running away from all of his children because they want to kick your goddamn ass. You just, you know, killed their, you know, mom slash dad. And then while you're running away, you're also telling your friend Deidre about your past. So you're playing the story at two different points in time.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, The whole shtick is, it's a pretty short game, and spoilers for it came out in 2009. The whole deal is, Father Mother is, well, the father and mother and leader of this, like, gang in the town they live in called Holstum. It's a really weird name. And they all think that Father Mother has two genders and gave birth to all of these various weird creatures on his slash her own. Father Mother is, like, this really tall, weird-looking bird dude, right? Really creepy looking. And Gat actually found out the secret. Father Mother is not their father slash mother. He just ran around and stole a bunch of children out of people's houses and raised them as his own. Because he could not find any other like race like him. And he was lonely and he wanted a family.
Okay. And I mean, he doesn't like abuse
no
kids,
no no no
right?
he loves like... them. He loves them a lot. He takes very good care of them. He's just like nuts. He's just desperate is a good way to describe it. Like,
desperate. Your turn. Desperate.
Desperate.
The appointment of Fina should be finalized within the week.
But like
I've already discussed the matter with the senator.
But, like, you've got this whole thing going on. You're being hunted down. You go all the way to the end of the world to try to just run away from your problems. You meet this guy called the Golem. This weird dude with, like, robot stuff attached to him. He tells you that he can fix all of this if you bring him back to the town. So he goes back there. He reveals the fucking secret. And he says that everything's happened. Things can change in Holstum. And so the sequel happens. And things start changing. And a little time passes. So the game is, like, only a few hours long in the first one, but the second one is kind of more expanded, where instead of being just, like, a way more linear-style adventure, you can kind of roam around a little bit with how you play in Xenoclash 2, and they have slight RPG elements, because you can find these totems to, like, rank up your abilities and shit. So, in 2, Father Mother got put in the jail, because, spoilers, Father Mother lived, and he's the final boss of the first fucking game. You need to go kick his ass again. But, he lived, and he was put in the jail, and the Golem kind of took over the town. He established the jail. That's what they call it. They call it the jail, not just jail. He installed, he enlisted enforcers who walk around and try to act like cops, and everyone hates it. They don't like all this new civilized bullshit. They liked being able just to kind of, like, beat up whoever they felt like, right? So, you meet up with Remat, who is one of your sisters from the... because Gat was raised by Father Mother. He was one of the children, but he found out and, you know, ran away and everything. She says, all right, now that this all fucking, all this shit happened and the family, like, dispersed to go find their real families, I need you to help me get father and mother out of jail. He's like, why the hell would I do that? And he's like, because I know as much as you don't like what he did, you still love him. And the cat's like, shit, she's right. Because he does love father and mother. Because even like when he's fighting him, he tells him he doesn't want to reveal the secret. He just wants him to stop getting more kids. He just wants him to stop doing what he's doing. But the whole story of this one is, rather than deal with father and mother, it's to deal more with the golem himself and a new golem that shows up. So, like, it turns out the guy that we have is called the North Golem. And there are four in total. There's one north, east, south, and west. So you have to go on this
kind of like, kind of like the Kais in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, kind of.
North Kai, South Kai, East Kai, and West Kai.
Yeah, kind of. So while you're on this adventure to break out father, mother, and cause all this fucking havoc, like, we're not going to let you take over this town. He's like, I'm not trying to take over this town, you primitive idiot. I'm trying to establish order so you guys can take care of yourself. And Gat's like, fuck you, Leather Man. And like, jump out the window and shit. And like, the whole thing is you kind of being the bad one here, because the golem's whole deal is, because he talks with the South Golem on like this radio thing. They are meant to kind of like be here to protect these people. At least that's what it implies at the start. But North Golem's patience is kind of wearing thin, and the South Golem really just stopped caring. He just says, why don't we just kill them all? Like, fuck them. And he's like, you know, we can't do that. He's like, whatever. So after you bring father and mother out, you go on this little adventure to try to figure out, like, what's the deal with the golems? You know, we got to get him out of power. You travel north back to where you originally were. And you also, along the way, have a side quest to kind of recruit all of your old family members and bring them back together, get the squad going.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing this, you get back to the weird shadowy land that he lived in. And he said that this is the end of the world. There's nothing beyond this fog. Turns out there is. You go through his, like, weird golem-like fortress palace, and there's, like, a tunnel that leads right underneath the fog. It wasn't poisonous or anything at all. You just go right through it. And while you go through here, you have this really weird sequence where you're walking down, like, this hallway, but there are these, like, modern-day objects kind of littering the pathway. Like, there's, like, a cabinet, there's, like, a piano, shit like that. When you interact with it, you go to, like, this weird, like, fancy-looking room, and, like, it adds more furniture to it. Then you get past this weird sign that you can't read because you're a bumfuck savage. And you go into, like, you go through this gateway.
Now, you say you can't read it.
Yeah, because when you try to interact with it, it just says it's illegible.
Oh, okay, so it's not like, as a player, you can't read it either.
No. Yeah, it's just, like, scribblings, and you can't interact with it. But, you go through this gateway, and you can see, spoilers for a game that came out, like, fucking 7 years ago, a futuristic city, and a golem comes there to stop you. It turns out that this game actually takes place way in the future. Everything's, like, super advanced. The people of Xenozoic have been just shut off from the rest of the entire world, and the golems are there to keep them in and keep them from getting out to everywhere else. So you have to fight the golem there. You fucking hit him with a hammer and split, like, him in half. Because he's, like, a weird robot. And his arm, like, dangles off. His, like, shoulder and, like, chest is open. You see all the weird, like, wires and tubes and shit in him. And you're like, all right, we're going to go to this goddamn city. And because the golem can link people to him, so whatever pain he feels, they will feel. He links both of them together and says, I would rather die and kill all of you with me than fail in my mission. So you have to go on another quest now to fix him so everyone doesn't die, because he's linked to the entire fucking town. So you have to go to this whole fucking thing to go to Pink Tower, which is this crazy psychedelic tower, and get a piece from another golem. When you get there, he died. The South Golem that we saw earlier shows up in his weird flying machine. He says that this golem died of boredom. What happens?
Now, here's the thing, Alex. Now, do you want to continue, or do you want to leave it for people to... Because this, like... I actually didn't know this much about Xenoclash, but, like, I'm pretty fucking, like, I'm in it now.
Yeah, it's...
Like, it sounds cool as fuck.
Yeah, the game's really cool. All right, fine. I won't spoil the entire story. You got a point. There's a lot of really cool things about it, and I didn't even explain, like, the Corwids, who are these really cool people that live out in the woods and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, I'll leave some up to you. Fine. But I really recommend getting both of these games. They're pretty cheap, because they're indie games made in, like, Chile. Super, super awesome. The gameplay is fucking rad because it's just this first person fucking brawler. You just run up to people, you elbow them, you grab them, you fucking suplex them, you kick them and stuff. You see it through your own eyes, and it's just so goddamn cool. And it's backed up by its really cool art direction, its art design, and its really cool world. The only criticism I would have of Xenoclash is that the first game has an unskippable like tutorial in the beginning. Also, because it was a 2009 Source indie game, even though it has a weird art style, kind of looks like crap by today's standards. Xenoclash 2 still looks pretty good, because it moved on to Unreal 3, but Xenoclash 1 has not aged all that well in the visual department. But either way, I highly recommend
it. It seems like Source always has... there's two big, weird, indie, first-person Source games. There's Xenoclash, and then there's I, Divine Cybermancy. Both games, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing when I was looking at them. They're weird.
So the other game I want to talk about, and I'll make this one short, because you're right.
Once again, I'm right.
You're sometimes right. You know, you're right all of the time, 70% of the time. So you've got Rise of the Argonauts. This game is loosely based, I say that loosely part, on the story of the Argonauts, which is the Greek epic of Jason going on this whole adventure to find the Golden Fleece and shit. So the original story...
You say loosely, but I'm pretty sure Hercules is a normal character.
No.
Everything about him is completely normal. Remember in the ancient Greek stories where he just had giant fucking pecs?
Well, the thing is that in the original story, he's only going to get the Golden Fleece to prove that he's the true king. Like, it's a status thing. It's not, like, actually, like, magical or anything. In the game, his wife got fucking narked, and she's dead. She's got shot in the fucking head with an arrow. So he's going to get the Golden Fleece to use its magic to bring her back to life. Also, he doesn't marry Medea in the game, but he does in the original story.
Tyler Perry's Medea?
Yes. But anyway, this game is, like... Well, Mass Effect came out in 2006, and this game came out in, I think, 2007 or 8. So this game kind of feels like Greek fantasy Mass Effect, with the way it builds its worlds, its dialogue options, and like how you have a ship, which is the Argo, that works as like your Normandy. Like, it feels kind of like, it really feels like a Mass Effect game. But I really like it because I just like mythology and shit, and I like seeing all these characters interact and everything. Plus, when the things are completely related to the actual, like, epic or, like, the mythology and the lore of ancient Greek, it's really cool to learn about. It's, like, $10 on Steam. And I say try it out. I wouldn't, like, as highly recommend it because it is pretty much just, like, just an okay game. But I really liked it.
Yeah, one game that, I'll give you one game that I think more people should know about, and then one game that I think a certain group of people won't shut the fuck up about. So the game that more people need to know about, Quantum Conundrum. It's cool as fuck. It's made by some of the people from the original Portal team. You play as this 7-year-old kid, and you go to your uncle's, your scientist uncle's house, and he gives you a gauntlet, and you can change universes, and you use that to just like change the entire room to do the puzzles. Like, there's one where everything's soft, one where everything's really heavy and metal, one where time is slowed down, and then there's one other one, but I don't remember what it is. And there's, like, all these things in the mansion, because you're just going, the entire game takes place within the mansion, and, like, there's giant, like, portraits that will change depending on which universe you're in, and it's a lighthearted, and every time you die, it's like, on the bright side, you'll never know what it's like to like, fail at riding a bicycle, and shit like that. It's a really fun game. I don't know why more people don't know about it. There's supposed to be a sequel, but it never happened, and that saddens me greatly.
Okay, so one of the things I know about Quantum Conundrum is, it had a Team Fortress 2 promotion. That's basically it.
It had a fucking red. It's called the Quadrangler for the medic. It is red as fuck. Now there's like coats that look the same that don't have the arm thing, so more, you know, most people don't use it, but I thought it was cool as fuck. The other game, so I just wanted to quickly shill Quantum Conundrum, also Bug Fables. You can back it out in Indiegogo, you can use Slackerbacker. Firewatch. What do you know about Firewatch, Alex?
Okay, I actually absolutely know literally nothing, but I've had a couple of my friends talk about it. So what is Firewatch?
So let me tell you about Firewatch. So Firewatch is a walking simulator.
Nice.
In a good way. It feels like a first-person point-and-click adventure game. It's got a fantastic art style, and it does this gimmick where it uses either shaders or LODs or something that if you get far enough away from something, it turns into like a 2D plane and turns into the background. You know the mountains in Team Fortress 2, the mountain skybox, where it's just solid shades of blue and like green and stuff like that?
Yes.
That's what this game looks like during gameplay. It looks really good. Everything will like fade to monocolored backgrounds. The main way you interact with objects is you just press shift, and then the dude brings up a walkie-talkie. And if you're just looking at something, you can let go of it, and it'll, you know, you select the button, and you'll talk to Delilah, your boss, be like, hey, I found a raccoon over here. It looks like he's got rabies. You know, shit like that. And what you do is, it's a really fucking great game, but games journalists are so fucking easy to impress and latch onto anything that's even somewhat mature to try and elevate video games to a more respected level.
Yeah, so that way their jobs don't seem as stupid.
Yeah, that way so they can, you know, the fact that they flunked out of, college and are now writing for a video game newspaper, they can try and think like, oh, you know, this is perfectly legitimate. It's an art form, guys. Like, no, fuck off. So this game it's a mature game. There's a whole story going on. And I guess I won't spoil anything specifically, but I'll give like what happens over the course of the game. I had a lot of fun not knowing anything about this game at all. So you can skip ahead, like, I don't know, however many minutes, probably most of the episode. Check back in the last 10 minutes. And so the point of the game is it opens up like kind of a really pretentious way where it's like a bunch of dialogue choices. It's like, you're at a bar and you see this girl. What do you do? And
Glasser.
You know, it goes through that. Glasser. And you just it gives you like this quick synopsis of you and your wife's relationship, and you find out that she has like early onset Alzheimer's, and it's like really fucking stressful because it's already affecting her at like 30 years old, because the main character's like a 30 year old man, you know, he's not like Kratos, he's not a small child, he's just a dude, you know,
he's not a small child, you know, like Kratos.
Yeah, like Kratos. Boy.
Boy.
Boy. Boy.
Not now, boy.
God of War. God, I really want to play it, but I've been too busy to. I'm going to play the fuck out of that this weekend once I finish all my shit.
Same.
But, yeah, so the player... So you go through this whole thing where it talks about his wife, and the player, because you're making these decisions, feels kind of like the dude, where you're like, his wife is like she's in Australia with her family, and he's just like, I'm gonna go to Colorado to a Firewatch position. That's a good excuse to be gone and unable to visit his wife for the entirety of the summer, because I can't, you know, I'm out here in the woods, I can't, he's running away from it.
Yeah,
so You go through some motions, you know, there's like some teenagers that are like getting drunk in the lake, and you like kind of scare them off, you know, you do your whole thing. And then there's this mystery that slowly unfolds throughout the game. And it's really cool because you get to stay in contact with Delilah the whole time by just pressing shift and bringing it up. And there's like certain, like if you piss her off, she'll turn her radio off for a while and you can't talk to her for a while.
Mm-hmm, makes sense.
I played through the whole thing on Twitch. I've got like VODs of it. It's not too long of a game. It's about 6 hours. But things just slowly, this mystery slowly unravels and shows up. And there's this big controversy about the ending of the game. A lot of people did not like it at all. I did, but I can completely understand why someone might be thinking, like, oh, this ending was total fucking dog shit.
Now, can we get a spoiler warning? Can we get a spoiler thing so I can hear what this ending is? Because I don't plan on playing the game, and I'm going to forget after we stop recording.
Well, no.
Aw.
So, a lot of people were like, oh, well, that was a lame ending. And I think the ending was really well done. I'll tell you what it is after I build up to it. So, through the entire game, there's this mystery, like, oh shit, we think that the government is spying on us because we found this thing. You know, like, there's all these things like, oh, someone left a note, or someone broke my window. You know, someone broke my window. Oh, I found this note. Oh shit, this notepad has all of our information on it. Someone's listening to us. And they think it's this huge fucking operation. And so you're going through it, and you're learning more and more and more and more. And at one point, Delilah's talking about, like, she gets really drunk. And she starts talking about the last people who were out here, like, a few years ago, like, 2-3 years ago. And it was a guy and his son.
Boy.
And the son was like, hey, boy. And the son was, like, the super fucking nerdy kid. Like, he played Wyverns and Wagons. Like, you find his, like, and that guy and his son both disappeared. They just disappeared. They never heard from him again after one day. They were just up and gone. And so the mystery is unfolding around them. You've got the government stuff. And then what it turns out is that the conclusion is incredibly mundane. There's no big, you did it. You solved the mystery. You stopped the government from putting lead into your air and testing on you. There's nothing like that. It just, it's, oh, this is the reasonable explanation for all of this. And so, and a lot of people didn't like that. They didn't like that there was no, because what I thought was going to happen was like, oh, I'm out in the middle of the woods watching fire. The ending of the game is going to be the forest on fire and I sprint through it. Doesn't happen. There's no big finale, you know, crescendo. There's nothing like that.
There's no fire in Firewatch.
I mean, there is a fire, but like, you're never in any danger. Because the game never gets wacky. And what I like about it is that it brings everything back down. Because he gets, like, him and Delilah get really excited about this thing. And then it just peters out and they're back to normal. And it's representative of what's going on with his wife. Because you go out here and you, like, he's trying to distract himself from the issue. So he goes out into the woods, and they get all caught up in this thing, and then he's brought back to reality when it's not what he wanted. And then the ending of the game, like, you have to decide, like, what is he going to do? Is he going to go back to his hometown? Is he going to go and visit his wife? Like, he can't keep running. The last thing you do in the game is you get into a rescue helicopter. So, these are metaphors, Alex. So it's a very mature storyline, and I can see how a games journalist who's just fucking obnoxious would cream himself over it having, like, a mature storyline and characters. I really, really liked it. I'll probably play through it again because it has the dev commentary thing. But there's two other things about the developer I want to mention. The developer's name is Campo Santo. And one thing they did that was really shitty is that they threatened to DMCA PewDiePie's Let's Play channel. Because he did a playthrough of their game, and then, like, 4 months later, he started doing that whole thing where he was just, like, being openly racist and doing a bunch of skeevy shit.
Nice.
And so he was, the director was, like, trying to weaponize copyright strikes, which, that's not cool. Like, maybe you could fuck off with that, buddy. Because you just let, so for 4 months, it's perfectly fine that PewDiePie plays your game. But then you don't like it anymore, and so you try to shut down his channel. Like, fuck off with that. And the other thing was that Campo Santo, this is just recently, was bought by Valve. So Valve bought Campo Santo because they really liked their game.
Huh. So if there's a Firewatch 2, it's going to be under Valve.
Well, I would hope there's not a Firewatch 2, but another game from the developer.
Yeah, you know? Waterwatch.
Yeah, what? Fuck off. So I didn't give you exactly what happens because I want you to play this game because it was really, really cool.
Well, we both know who that's ever going to happen, so come on.
Yeah, it's never going to.
Come on, boy. Give me the ending.
Nope. What I will tell you, though, and for everyone who's still listening, Me and Alex will be going to Evo 2018 out there in beautiful 140 degree August Las Vegas.
I mean, maybe outside. We're going to be goddamn inside in the Mandalay Bay. So if you guys want to come over there and like
sweaty nerds.
Yeah, so if you guys want to go over there and meet us and maybe kill us or something, go right ahead.
Yeah, yeah. If you just want to like stalk us, we're going to be at the Mandalay Bay because that's where Evo is. I'm going to be entering Dragon Ball FighterZ to get abso-fucking-lutely destroyed. Did you enter any games, Alex?
Yeah, last year I entered Guilty Gear. You know, I did my whole story from the Evo episode. And this year I'm going to enter Guilty Gear again. And maybe I'll enter Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter 5 also. Because there is a title for Street Fighter 2. Yeah, I'm going to enter probably Guilty Gear and then maybe Street Fighter. So I'll see.
Yeah. One thing that I really... I'll have to look for a side tournament because I'm sure it's going to be there. Is the new Killer Instinct? Because I did not give a shit about that until you showed me it.
It's fucking godlike, dude. It's got so much personality to it.
It's like, if you don't give a shit about fighting games, there's a fighting game that exists that appeals directly to you. You just haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Instinct is like, I didn't give a shit. The only thing I remember about Killer Instinct... And I didn't even remember that it was specifically Killer Instinct. I remember that there was a fighting game when I was little where you could just play as a Velociraptor. That's Killer Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
You could play as a skeleton that when he runs, he just holds his sword, his scimitar over his head and goes, ah! Like, Killer Instinct's the fucking god. And it's got the music done by that dude who did the music for the new Doom game. It's pretty fucking... It's stylish as shit.
I've got nothing to add to that. You just... Proving my point that this game's fucking good.
Yeah, so catch me at Evo. How about that? I'm going to get destroyed in Dragon Ball FighterZ. I won't even show up on stream unless I get incredibly lucky and the other dude like punches me in the jaw or something.
Well, the way it works, though, is they'll bring you down to reality. What happens is, like, because there's, like, say, 6 or 7, like, TVs and shit set up, right? Or sorry, 6 or 7 tables with, like, 2 TVs on each side. They're only streaming off of one of them, and they're going to pick whichever one has, like, the pro players in it, whichever pool that is. So, if you're unlucky, like my friend who got paired up with L.I. Joe, yeah, you might be on stream. Maybe. But the chances are really low. They stream off of a single one TV during the pool section. So, you'll have to be, like, it's like a 1 in 10 chance you'll be on there. Don't worry about it.
Oh, so yeah, that'll be cool. So you guys might see me go up there
maybe
and get absolutely destroyed because I don't even know how to instant air dash, but I'm going to fucking Evo. Oh, another thing about fighting games. I did a guest boys with Rufalmonger. He does a bunch of really cool Dragon Ball FighterZ and Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite stuff. Rest in peace, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I'm going to put that up probably sometime this weekend. Yeah, that about does it for Noise Boys. It was... Because we've had this one kind of brewing for a while. It's been through like 6 different iterations. I've got a page of notes I didn't even touch that are just kind of sitting there. So, Morty, sorry, I don't know, I'd burp. Yeah, it was good to do another Noise Boys, kind of update you guys on the sitch. That's what us millennials say, situation, because we're too busy for the situation. For 4 syllables.
Yeah.
So we just say sitch. But yeah, I guess we'll just go ahead and go right on into the plugs. You can find the podcast here on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, on the website, letmetellyouabout.moe or lmtya.com. You can find in the description, we've got a Discord, we've got a Patreon, also on Twitter, at letmetellyoupd. That's about it for the quick plugs there. Thanks you guys a bunch for your patience and the slow uploads this month. I'm glad that my finals are finally closing, so should be able to get stuff back out on a normal schedule after that. And is there anything else you want to add, Alex, before we close this one out for goodsies?
Please don't let me be on stream when I lose at Guilty Gear.
Please let me be on stream when I get absolutely destroyed by Sonic Fox.